I've got exactly 1 minute to finish up the show and make room for Miracle Nutrition. That, of course, was Black Sabbath with Changes from Volume 4. Who'd have thought, right? Sun Drips before that. I don't have enough time to do this whole set list, so you can check it out on the playlist page. You're tuned to Freeform Radio, WFMU, East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. My name is Fabio, and thanks for listening. I'll see you next week. Stay tuned for Miracle Nutrition.
To Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we visit together and as I take your ticket to enter a fun museum ride of funness where you're going to learn something and then forget it because you don't need to remember it. Like, for instance, I say, people with the green tickets keep left. You don't need to remember that after you're in. Like this introduction. Bless you.
There's an old poem that goes, how much seed could a woodchuck suck if a woodchuck could succeed? And a woodchuck can succeed. What is a woodchuck? Well, a woodchuck is a large ground squirrel, but it's also known as a groundhog or a whistle pig. Now, you say, well, that makes it sound very interesting. A large ground squirrel. Well, I don't know about that. Is that someone I would hire to be a manager at my small business? Perhaps not. But whistle pig? Oh, my goodness. Or groundhog? You mean like Groundhog Day? Yes. It has a whole day named for it. Now that is success. Today I'd like to share with you a little bit about what I know about success. So many things have success or succeed in the title. How to succeed in business. Dress for success. Succeed and succeed again place. Or success. There's also, I'm blanking, but I know there's hundreds. It's so funny when you can only think of like a handful of things and you go, but I know that is representative of almost an infinite amount. But it really is, because we see it all the time, because as human beings and in our culture, we are very concerned about succeeding. Are you a success? It's even a noun. You can call yourself a success. It's so funny that with that kind of value placed on something that it has not translated into being a surname. I've always thought about that. There's so many Smiths because there were so many Smiths, I imagine. And then there weren't a lot, but people wanted to take credit. Oh, you know what? You know what my grandfather did for a living? What? He shod. What? He shod horses. Did he? Like, get away. No. He put the... He's a smithy. Oh, he was a smith. Yeah. Wow, that's something. Under the spreading chestnut tree, the village smithy stands. And apparently, he wants to remain anonymous if he's going by a smithy. But that doesn't... Oh, there's somebody going, I know what that means. I'm in a movie watching business. Or it's not really a business. But if you know anything about movie watching, sometimes if people don't want their name on a movie, they'll say, just put Alan Smithy did it. And that's really how I apply to most jobs. When Can call me and say, how do you want the show to read? And I said, Alan Smithy's Smith Show or something like that. And he goes, no, you have to take credit for it. And I go, oh, my goodness. I don't know if that's something I'm prepared for. I don't like putting my name on something. And that's a lot of times what people will hide behind pseudonyms. And people who do that are, oh, so many professions. Counterfeiters, performers, performers who take other people's acts, I imagine. I really don't know. People who want to conceal their ethnicity. Say, oh, yes, if I told you my name, you would know where I was from, because it's a very long, complicated patronym. And then you'd say, that you're from that weird island in the Pacific where people have horns and scream at the stars. I don't know anything about that, because my last name is White. And my ancestors, why did they have that name? Well, I think because their eyes had no pupils. That's just my theory. Because you see, like, somebody like Tor Johnson or something. Bless his heart. I don't know whether his eyes are up just rolling back in his head. That's probably what my ancestors were doing. Like, oh, Lord. And then they say, oh, you can only see the whites of their eyes. Well, that's because they're exasperated. Poor dears. I can't imagine. So you want to be a success, and you've come to Hardy White's success class and how to succeed at just about anything. And if you put your mind to it, I want to succeed at things that I have not even put my mind to it. In fact, things I don't even know that I'm endeavoring to do. I wonder if that I could succeed at ruining someone's day with little effort, I bet, just by being thoughtless, or not even being that thoughtless, just by going on the radio. Oh, my goodness. If you believe in karma, don't go into any kind of media, because you can't keep track of the little thought babies that you make. It's just like, I'm going to leave my seed here. And everybody just, you can grab it, do what you want with it. And then all the demon children that look like you and have your inclinations or whatever thing. That is what your thoughts are going out on the radio wave. So is that succeeding? So I'm going to tell you up front one of the best ways to succeed, and then we can go into specifics, and I'm going to give you all the secrets. Oh, I'm going to tell you what they don't want you to hear. And but first I'm going to tell you that the key is just changing your definition of success. That's what I would do, first of all. It's like saying, you know, am I rich? I think I'm rich. Look at all the friends I have, or my health, or something. Then you go, okay, yes. And it is a logical fallacy with a name. It's called if by whiskey. So you can, you know, if by whiskey you mean that wonderful elixir that cures all human ills, then yes, I'm for whiskey. But I don't know if you want to do that. That might be cheating, because success has kind of a definition. And what is it? All right. What is success? Well, success is, I think, a lot of... I'm not going to say my definition, because I've had to change mine to not have any self-loathing, because I was trying to... I want to get it all out. I want to clean my mind palace of self-loathing. And so I had in Maria Macondo, who does this stuff. She's my mental house cleaner, and comes in and say, I'm going to get these... Get rid of all the clutter. And a lot of the clutter I see is you've just made, it looks like, endless self-portraits and sculptures of yourself and your own face. You seem a little preoccupied. Well, it's not that. It's just self-examination. Is it self-examination, Narcissus? Oh, I don't know. So are you looking at yourself too closely? Of course you're going to find faults, you know? Well, I don't know. Yes. So perhaps you need to just change. You know how they say the old photographers would put lube or, I don't know what you call it, the Vaseline on the, I love saying it that way because it sounds dirtier, on the lens of the camera. And then you look through and go, oh, look at that person's face. It's so beautiful. It has no edges. Because all blurred out on this. Oh, and then look at their skin. Looks, it's free of blemishes. Well, it's just free of blemishes, or there's just one large blemish. It's hard to tell because of the focus or whatever. And that's, I've had to do that and put myself in soft focus. I don't mind anymore. There's two ways you can, well, for me, hit a certain age if you're going to have mirrors. If I'm gonna go ahead and read my poem. If you have to have mirrors, if you have to have mirrors, either buy a nose hair trimmer or take off your glasses. If you have to have mirrors, You should either get a good barber. I haven't really written the poem yet, but I'm meaning to, and then I will succeed, perhaps, in the writing field. They call it a field because it smells like manure a little bit. Other stuff, too. I don't know. Maybe someone's buried out here. Oh, my goodness. I would not. There's some things I'd like to not succeed in. Finding a dead body when you're hiking would be one. Where I go hiking, which is a pretty popular trail in a public, in a park, like a state park, it would mean it was fresh. And that's almost worse. I wouldn't mind finding one of those bodies we think, there's been a murder, but it turns out to be Uzi the Iceman or something. Oh, no, he's been here. Oh, my gosh, he's a stone man. Not stone man, we call Stone Age man. He's a bronze man. He's a Bronze Age man. But they called themselves bronzemans. I don't know, and that's where the last name comes from. It all comes together. You can look at people. I studied anthropology at the clothing store by mistake. And so a lot of things I'll refer to is like culture. Instead of culture, I'll say blouse or something like that. Say, but my education's not the best. So maybe I won't succeed, or maybe I'm not the best person to speak about succeeding to you. But what if I'm more successful than you? Well, first of all, I'm tearing up because like I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh! If you aspire to do anything close to what I'm doing, stop. First of all, no. Why are you following me? You're following the wrong person. I think it's like, oh, look at from behind. It's supermodel Kristen Standen. I don't remember any of them. And then it turns around, but it's not. It's Jim Flanagan from the Vinyl Ties. I can't think of any real celebrities, but you know what I'm saying. Maybe when you're following somebody from behind, it looks pretty good. Say, I want to be like that celebrity, that musician. And you're on the same path, but then they turn around and there's some kind of hideous demon face. And you say, who am I following? Where am I going? What do I think success is? What kind of love do I want from people? And you say, I want twisted parasocial love from absolute strangers and people that I wouldn't really want to ever be around or associate with and who would make my life worse if I had to be in their proximity. That's what I want. I mean real love like that. That's what I think about when I see large celebrities on Twitter, like Andre the Giant. No, he's passed away. I mean, not large celebrities. You know what I mean. Very popular. Where they don't put the actual number of your followers anymore. It just says something K. It's K, you know. I don't even follow people like that. They go, well, they're not going to notice. You know, how many thousands of followers did I get today? Well, I don't want to, but, you know, obviously my so-called friendship is not valued or my following. It's like joining a mega church. So I'm not going to go anywhere. The pastor will never, ever, ever know me. You know, you come up in some congregations with whatever your religion, and the person that's just spoke to you or whatever, you get to shake their hand, usually, or used to. And now they have mega congregations where they take a hollowed out old mall that is 3 football fields long and the pastor is in some kind of Wizard of Oz booth at the end and they're filming them. You just watch on screens next to the guy who does your taxes. A machine does my taxes. That's what I'm saying. So it's just very, very cold and everything like that. Don't follow. You know you should follow. Let's say, well, I'm going to get to that. Oh my gosh, but this is the time of the podcast where I want to tell you about yummy refreshing drink. Refreshing drink is something that's going to get you through the day. I don't know how tired you are when you start your day, but I reach for one of these refreshers. Now, I know you buy it in the store, and you're used to a hearty white not telling you to go buy anything, but refreshing drink is an exception. Bottled and made by local people who make it with their hands and don't spit in it at all. Refreshing drink gives 5% of everything they make to the people that they hurt. So, there you go. It's like when your university has an office of not being cruel and unfair. Oh, good. I'm glad they've made a little nod to ethics. Oh, bless your heart. I'm not shilling for anything. Boy, it's unpopular. When I started, and I mean as a human, there was a little bit of a sort of like anti-authoritarian, healthy cynicism in the air, I feel. And I came to have a suspicion of people who were like that, kind of fat cats and all. And I was sensitive to people being exploited, and maybe controlled, and people maybe pretending to be your friend because they want to secretly steal from you or manipulate you or something like that. You know how it is. I had a friend. I have both a time machine, and it also goes into imaginary time. How about that? No, it doesn't. It's all real. It really happened. But one of my friends is a sort of cow, giving white cow god, and can give you anything you want. Well, of course, the god's going to be exploited. And white cow god used to live in their own apartment, completely independent. You can't even get to them now. It's ridiculous because there's so many. You say, oh, no, you can't have, we must protect white cow giving god. Protect that from all you who would exploit them. So everything valuable is really surrounded by the biggest weasels. That's how you know. So you say something of value, and then usually the people that are protecting it the closest are the that venal cabal there or something. And then everybody again going out, you know, in concentric circles from there. But I've always been, I don't want to be stolen from. So then I thought, well, let me get rid of anything that anybody might steal. Like Don Quixote. Now, he's not a hero. He's a moron. And the point of Don Quixote is he's a deluded moron. But he's created, you know. He's made by the society that he's in, and they just can't see it. So we made this ridiculous monster who is now terrorizing us. His self-delusion is a product of our culture. We made Don Quixote. We forced him in this position of being ridiculous. And that's the way I feel a lot about it, about my so-called art. Because it is so-called. Because if you could figure out whether it had worth or not, then you'd maybe somebody want to take it. As I always feel that way, like I've got something in my shop window, and there's a thief staring at it, stares at it night and day, trying to figure out whether it's worthless or priceless. And can't conceive of its value being a hidden thing. Oh, what does that mean? Oh, I think you know what it means in my heart. You know what it means. I've always wanted a little, not literally, but like a little shop, a little store, and then we all can go there. It's like a cafe or a bar, but there's no booze because I don't want to deal with that. Bless your heart, I don't mind drinking and everything, but, you know, people get drunk and then you... So if you have a store that says, you know, we got drinks, you're going to get, people. But this is the place I want to be able to, for people to feel like, you know, I just want to be myself. I want to relax, you know, but I don't want to be disinhibited to the point where, you know, I lose my dignity. I'd love to bring my dignity with me. You may, yes. You don't need to leave it anywhere. That's not anybody, any kind of movement, anything wants you to abandon your dignity. Say, I think I'm going to go ahead and keep it intact. That's all right. I got a little self-respect, but I just want to hold on to it like my old Beastie Boys t-shirt that you can't wear anymore. Oh, I love it. It's what it means to me. It's not whether I can use it or whether it's practical or not. Oh, my friends, I want to give you some freedom here to have your mind uncluttered by those unreasonable expectations of those who would manipulate you. Oh, it's all of them. I think the worst for me, so a lot of pundits or any kind of anybody I see on the radio or television, any commercial endeavor, where I hear somebody telling you the truth about something, I just think about those psychics and how disgusting they are, sitting there going, I see you got a Grammy. It's Grammy or Grandma. I'm seeing she's standing behind you.
Yes, I just lost her.
Yes. Well, she's telling you now everything's all right. You know, that kind of, it's cynical, it's manipulative, it's crass, it's terrible to me. And it's a sin. I got a list of them over here. I'm not going to share them with you yet because you go, oh, I do that. And I don't want to make you feel bad. But it's oh, my goodness. And so anytime I see, that's what I see. I see people being played a lot, you know. And that's just it's just commerce. Nobody in that market. Just imagine everywhere you go, for any mall, anytime you're in a shop, imagine it's some kind of crazy market from some kind of sci-fi thing or the Middle Ages. You know, yeah, Bobby Wears! Like that. Everything is like, yeah, Bobby Wears! Nobody can be trusted, really. That doesn't mean nobody can be trusted. It's just like in that context when it comes to value or worth or when it comes to greed. But greed is created by misplacing your values. If something is like that, where you think it's one person having it gives them inordinate power, you're living in a bizarre town. I'm not going to visit it.
There is a kingdom in which they believe that anybody who has this raisin.
See, that's, and it couldn't be anything. Anything can be given disproportionate value. And we see that in the, a lot of times, what they'll do is they'll have real things. Let's say music, some real music that takes skill, is right there on the shelf next to something made by a machine that just kind of sounds like music, the fake version. So it's all out there because anything goes. If they can get you to buy the fake version, then it has the same value as the other one and would become scandalized by that. We say, well, that is an injustice. That is an injustice. Clearly, this prostitute is more attractive than the other one. Why are they getting two different prices? And you go, well. So I'm saying to you, I'm not saying change your society. I would never say that. Oh, bless you. Oh, just leave things. Y'all are doing everything fine. I think it's all right. The other day I had egg salad sandwich. I was so pleased that I'm not going to criticize anybody for anything. But listen. I will say in your inside, internally, though, I don't see any reason not to do certain things. I guess, you know, you're not going to be able to change your business or what you do or quit your job or anything or even how you interact with people. But it just seems to me that taking that to bed with you is strange. You know, can't you stay free somewhere? And that's why when I'm invited into other people's mind palaces, I say, why am I here? Don't let me in. You can make a robot me. Put that in there. And that's safer and everything. But if I'm going to come in here, I'm going to start rearranging your thoughts on your wall. You don't want that. It's like, well, has anyone ever done that to you? No one has ever done this to me. But I guess it happened in a sitcom and it's all conflated now. God, think about that. If you sort of conflate your experience and memories with a sitcom, you could have neuroses that were intended for Cindy Brady. But now you have them because you identified so much. Florence Henderson's my mother. Florence Henderson's my mother. Now you're as messed up as their TV children. That's how I think about things. A lot of times if you're in therapy, you go, I had PTSD or what from? I go, I think I was. Lost on an island. I think I was a castaway. Is that a word? Castaway. You were cast away by your parents. I sort of was to the island called Television. Television Island. And there I met other children who were cast off by their parents to go live in front of the TV. And one of them was there's always one bigger child. And I said, hey, he's fun. And then there was, wealthy one. I still will never get over how the Sherwood Schwartz, Gilligan's Island was a sort of comedy dell'arte
or something, or at least like, or some kind of metaphor. You know, he thought these people represent all of society. And I go, oh, wow. They don't, though. That's interesting. They may be like your friends, or I don't really know. You know, these represent my five friends or my neighbors. Because all of society is a stretch. You know, that Thurston Howell type. He's everywhere. So I don't even know. But and Gilligan is the everyman. You need to go to hell. So I'm not, bless his heart, as much as I like Bob Denver, and I do, and who doesn't? And he is an actor's actor's actor. Is that three? But I will tell you what, that who wants to be that stupid character? And then he did get typecast as somebody who gets everybody lost, which he should have played the mother in Flannery O'Connor's A Good Man Is Hard to Find, with Bob Denver as the grandmother. Isn't that, that she gets everybody, I think it's here. Is anybody laughing? I think it's somebody said, I'm an English major from the 80s. Mary's going, but isn't that beautiful? All your love's wrapped in. Hey, children. This is what I'm starting to think. I don't, as far as success and my own success and everything and things that I expect of myself and others, I'm getting to the age now where just my survival means that I witnessed firsthand some things that might be of use to young historians. So let's say you're a young historian in your 30s or something, and you go, I wonder what it's like, because you speak like a child, or you're just now going through puberty, because people age much slower than they used to. And puberty's like now in your mid-30s or something, you know. I'd like some advice on dating, Uncle Hardy. So you're a young historian, and you're thinking, I'm studying what? I'm studying 1979, and I need somebody who was doing poorly in high school to say, what was your thoughts? And I go, I don't know. I don't remember. I remember being in social studies class when Jonestown happened, the Jonestown suicide massacre. And I thought, how are we going to talk about this all day? And then it just changed into talking about the teacher's Vietnam experience where he was shot. And that was a very intense class. So it started talking about this mass massacre, suicide in a strange cult. And then it ended with your teacher. I liked this teacher. I was close to him. I had no idea about his experience. And boy, what a day. What an intense day. I wonder what I did that day. I went home and, I don't know, I would just drink a lot of Coca-Cola and not do my homework. But maybe I thought about a little bit more that day and what it means to succeed. I didn't, but I'm now I am. It doesn't matter how late I am to it. And I thought, what do those two stories have in common? They seem to be endeavors, and that started out with a quest for success. And I'm advocating something about a little more upending. See, I think that if you're trapped in something, like a quest or something that's going to get you killed, then the only way really to stop things is to not, and I learned this from fake martial arts. I didn't realize I was in a fake martial art class, but it ended up just being almost purely philosophical. But I did learn this, that it's difficult to stop an opposing force with that amount of force. And so you say, oh, well, you're talking about Aikido, where you then just direct the force away from you. Huh? You just take it like, what's his name? The big fella. And you direct it away from you like that. Say, no, that's not what I'm talking about either. I'm saying you encounter the force and then you just confuse it. You What? Music. What? What are you talking about? What? Talk about the force. What force? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to walk over here. What are you doing? See, and that way you don't, you can transcend the situation. Now, some people are using these techniques now for evil. They've been discovered, and I inherited them. For me, they're about a little over 100 years old now, and my Dada ancestors said, you know, you're not going to argue people out of world war. You know, you're not going to, there's no cogent argument for don't destroy one another and don't be monsters and don't, you know, tear the flesh from humans. If I've got to convince you of that in some sort of logic, and then the language is corrupt. And if it can't be used to do that, then there must be something that transcends language, that transcends, or it's another type of language at least. Get outside of that one. Get outside of that kind of art. Get outside. Get some kind of access to the human heart and to the mind palaci. Yes, that's the plural. No. Is that the thing? Palaces. Palaces is the singular, palaci. Mind palaci. It's not the same word as palace that we, like a house? That's what you thought. No, it is. If I could gain access to that, and I'm not going to tunnel in, but it would be nice if I could find a key under a mat or something. If I could get in, I could change things on the inside. And really, people need to be changed on the inside. No amount of force on the outside is going to combat the infection. Oh, my goodness. How do you get in folks' hearts? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to break in. I know that's not the way to do it. If my beef is violence or cruelty, if that's my beef, then that's, now I can't think it. I used the wrong word. I should have said complaint, because now I'm thinking, I got steak, thinking about steak and everything. How am I going to use steak? Steak is a good sound effect. If you don't have a lot of wet human flesh to slap together, you can just buy a cheap cut of meat and slap that on the counter or on your hand or something like that to use as foley. I'm going to talk about now using the concept of foley as a means of success through a sort of Dada confusion tactic or... Do you ever watch The Three Stooges or anything? There's a, you make a distraction, create a distraction. Have you ever heard of this? So let's say you're trying to break into the Carvel ice cream to get a Cookie Puss because you don't want to pay. I don't know why. So I don't want to break in. I don't want the alarm to go off. So what do? Is I wait just until closing time, and then I have someone come in there, like Shemp or whatever, and create a distraction. And then the clerk goes and says, "What are you doing, Shemp, back there? That's not a bathroom." And while that's going on, I'm at the front freezer liberating a Cookie Puss. And then I'm out the door and gone. Now, he's going to get Shemp out of there, and he's not going to come back in inventory until the next day. So he might think somebody broke in there at night, and they're going to look at all that security footage, not see anything, because they're looking at the wrong time. Yes, that's how it works, except don't rob a Carvel. Don't do that. I'm not even hinting about that. That is, I don't even know why I picked that. I didn't even have to pick a business. It's a craving. It snuck into my consciousness, because we were talking about success and succeed, and if you're a citrus enthusiast, pardon me, like myself, then you've done that. The seeds are part of it; they're in there with the fruit. A good orange, they've got these what they call navel oranges, which are grotesque. So they took the human navel, which is just an umbilical remains of your umbilical stump or something. It's where your stomach is folded into itself. I don't even know. It's like some kind of weird Möbius strip of flesh that the inside is the out or whatever. And they took that and they say, we're going to do gene crossover, put it on an orange, and then it'll be sterile because it'll be half human and it doesn't have any seeds, and that's fine. But a real orange, I want a real orange to be itself. I want it to be an orange with seeds and everything. One that thought, it might be me who starts the next tree. It might be my little historian friend. But reach back, and why don't you, again, I'm going to just inject this right here. I am totally available to speak to you about the dissertation you're writing about, again, whatever time you're interested in, then I was there. People go, what was Tallahassee like in the early 80s? And I'll say, I don't know. I was there. I don't remember. And maybe that'll be helpful to you. Some things were different. I don't know. I remember this Italian place. It's not there anymore. Stuff like that. But that might be good. People, this is funny. If someone did one time interview me about Tallahassee and music in Tallahassee, and that was so much fun. I remember saying a lot, having a lot of opinions, because I thought it was fun, because I thought maybe we were kind of pretending that people were important or something. You know, I was like, oh, I felt like we were talking about the New York folk scene or something in the 60s. And that's a lovely thing. And then you can see that's a way of adjusting success, you say. Oh, I remember how things were. Well, let me tell you about some of the great acts we have. And you can make stuff up because lovely. What a time of not very many videos. I mean, people had camcorders and stuff, I guess. But I don't know. There's only some still pics of things I did in the early 80s, but no video. And no recordings a lot of times. Some. But I had those little four-track cassettes and everything. Everybody had one of those. You were supposed to have one. I remember FosTech or something, when you got to college, they go, you have to have one of these, and you have to have a recording studio in your dorm, and then no pressure, but people are making it nationally doing this, so good luck. And it was a lot of pressure. What heady times. You know, it's possible to succeed with your childhood dreams and ambitions and goals. So I always dreamed of being an astronaut doctor, a flight surgeon. I don't see, those are weird words to me because I don't know which you can be both. But are you an astronaut who does surgery or a surgeon on a... I'm confused about that. I love combining. I'm a doctor lawyer. Or are you a lawyer doctor? I know a lot of MD PhDs, and very confused. All I really need to know is, can you write prescriptions? And then they go, yes. And I go, my God, I have an idea. So those are fun. That's somebody you want to hang out with. I am blessed in a lot of ways, and one of them is I feel liberated from a lot of things, and I want to share that with you. And it comes from, maybe I'm just trying to make my failures sound like they're secret successes, and that could be. But I really do believe that I was wrong-headed for most of my life. That I ruined a great deal of it because I had strange expectations. And I don't know where they came from. And I think they were created wholly from others. Now, it doesn't mean that there's anything really new under the sun. Or that we can come into this world and not be affected by the culture and history and circumstances into which we are born. But there is a difference between kind of knowing that there's a kick me sign on your back and not knowing it. And so it really is a sort of awareness, like, at least now I know I'm in a play. And that way I can make adjustments. Some of the pressure can be off of me. I see now that the stakes aren't what I thought they were. And so maybe I can do the same things, but my heart is not as heavy. And that's where I'm going with this. I'm telling you that perhaps the task can be lighter without some of the, if you can acknowledge that there perhaps is a kick me sign on your back. And I had that for a long time. And then I realized there's a kick me sign. And then, so then I put one on my front to see what people would do. And no one will kick you to your face. Isn't that amazing? Because they realize you now know there's one on your back. And they worry there might be one on their back. Oh, there is a certain danger to those people. And we have this in art and everything. Those people don't care anymore. There's been lots of like network, you know, or I've got nothing to lose anymore kind of attitude or office space. Isn't that strange? And then we know in our hearts that there's all that needs to happen is that you say, I'm going to clap real hard and Generalissimo Tinkerbell is going to stop being the dictator. And down with Generalissimo Tinkerbell. Put their stave their heads on pikes for children and herself. No, we don't. That's a different Tinkerbell. Now you're saying, well, oh, I love Tinkerbell. Not the Peter Pan one. People have different names. There's different people named Jim Smith. My goodness. You know, oh, which Jim Kelly are you talking about? Exactly. So I'm saying to clap away the demon oppressors that are living in there. Get them out of your head. Oh, my goodness. Now, some movements, this is, you can also tell why there's no money involved. This is at church, they give you alternative to, you know, now that you've chased out that, can I suggest someone else to occupy the guardhouse? They go, oh, my goodness. It turns out they're just privatizing my self-oppression. I don't want that either. No, I'm good now. I'm going to leave the guardhouse empty as a reminder to myself that I used to create this. But is the love of others that is contingent on these false appearances is also worthless. So you say, well, if I get off this path, Hari, and I don't care what people think, then I will also lose their love. Yet you will lose the love of the lost and judgmental.
Well, I'd rather them love me than be alone.
Well, think about that for 2 seconds. That must mean that your own heart, that they're still there, because alone you'd be liberated. And no one says, I would rather be in this violent, smelly prison than out in the woods by myself, if those were the two alternatives. So, of course, I will take freedom. And hardly do you ever worry about, so you can succeed or you can suck. And you can do both, I believe. Suck and succeed. And so I don't worry about either one of them, whether I succeed or suck.
Really?
No. No, no, no. I just take that out of the equation and think about you. I don't think about like helping you or anything. I mean, I do. I hope I do, you know. But what I want to do is speak the truth that I'm thinking. Not the one that's adjusted. I want to make connections with you. I want us both to be okay. I'm not looking for, I know I don't want enemies. Nobody does. Nobody does. But and I do want other people to be happy for both reasons, mine and theirs. There's just no way to run far enough from other people's problems. And so I will run into them. I will run right into it, right into the fray. And say, look, I know there's a kick me sign on me, kick me all you want. I have to do this. I have to go forward and just hope that maybe somebody wants to hear it. But thank God I'm on a radio station that doesn't use that as a way of figuring out whether something has worth. I mean, I'm not trying to say it's perfect or anything. But, you know, we joke about it. Oh, WFMU, it's just that they don't even know what's good. Or if it's, no, it's nobody else does. That's the thing. It doesn't matter. There's no good or bad a lot of times, you know, when it comes to art. And these ideas get killed in their infancy because they're a threat. And they just don't want you to like things that are not behind. If you can't be charged to come see it, if I've got a museum and right next to it is a field with all these beautiful objects in it that you've got it for free, you're a threat. So that's the thing, you know. Everything has to look like it doesn't have worth. So I'm trying to do two things. I'm trying to look like I suck. I'm trying to make my... I'm wearing a shaving basin and saying it's a magic helmet so that nobody takes it from me. But then, see, I get to wear a magic helmet. And I get to be something inside that is inconceivable by people that worry about their job in media constantly.
Well, you could worry that Ken's going to fire you.
I did that for about 3 weeks in 2012. And then I started hearing from people, and I said, it doesn't matter if it's now, never. The wonder has already been done. The good thing has already happened. It doesn't undo it. If it doesn't happen tomorrow or next week, it doesn't undo what's already happened. I've already spoken to all those people. If I think about it, if I become self-conscious, say, what did they like? What did they don't like? What did they like? What did they want? Well, it says here they'd like I think they should do more voices. All right, I'll do more voices.
And they like what they do is the sound effects.
I'll do more sound effects and voices then. Oh, I'll sit here and I write. And it's happened to me before. I say, go Hardy, you need to have something that sounds like you've got to write like Samuel Beckett. And see, whenever I do that, I embarrass myself. Well, because I'm chasing something. I was like, you need to chase and catch that dog. You can't chase and catch that dog, fool. My goodness. You know, you're lucky if you get to talk to the dog chaser and be helpful.
Dog went that way.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome. I chased myself, but went okay, bye.
That's what I'm looking for now. Bless you. And those, you say, I won't be satisfied with this. It doesn't. If you're not playing Monopoly, open your hand. What's in it?
One of those Monopoly pieces.
Which one is it?
Oh, the iron.
You don't like the iron?
No.
Are you playing Monopoly right now?
No.
Then it doesn't matter that you got the iron. It only matters in the context of that foolish game where there's somebody else's priorities they have to do. And it's all about wealth and accumulating it to the point where you're the only one who has it. Have you not noticed what happens in Monopoly? I mean, it's a cautionary game. You all start out with the same amount of money and you're having fun and everything, and then it becomes not fun. And all of a sudden, only one person has the money. And then they inexplicably, even if it's sweet Aunt Alice, she turns into a dick. Because there's no way, not because it's built into the damn system of the game. And even if you say, well, we have the Simpsons version where it's all Simpsons characters. Well, I don't know what to tell you. You're too far gone. God bless you. Oh, my goodness. I say we when I don't want to accept any responsibility for things I've said. We're just being silly here. We're a team. When things go wrong, we're a team. When things go wrong... And when things go right, I'm the leader. I am the general of the army. When we're retreating, I'm the bugle boy. I'm the flag boy, and I was kidnapped. Don't shoot me. I'm secretly the general. Oh, no, I'm kidding. No, so you can go back and forth. Oh, my goodness. I love you. And I know right now you're probably a combination of emotions. And one of them is, I'm a little bit confused. All right. Also, never mind. What? No, because it could be neurological. What? Go ahead and say it. Sometimes you'll mumble or you won't finish words or something like that, or you just go on to, or you'll make sounds or something, and it's jarring. It's unpleasant to hear, especially on the radio, where people are supposed to have sort of professional voices. Well, I've never heard that on most radio. And that's another thing I'd like to point out. Just compare the WFMU voices, which always, which sound to me, to my ear, sound like people like people that were on Rockford Files or something, just in a small part. He went that way, Rockford. Like that. That's not how they sound, but I think it's beautiful. But I only say that as opposed to your Ernie Anderson voice or something. The Love Boat. Those kind of, No, he didn't say The Love Boat. That was a wrong network. No, he was Love Boat. The Love Boat. Like that. Why are you bringing that up? Well, because I was talking about professional voices. And the reason I bring that up is because nobody speaks like that. Nobody really speaks that way. Hey, coming up, what do we got? We've got tickets. We've got tickets to the big show. We've got tickets to the big thing. Weather is good. Weather is high in the 50s, low in the 60s, high in the 40s, 50s. And big tickets to the big show coming right up after this. Hey, only the hits. Top hits, New Jersey's top hits, every day, all day, all over the city. Big tickets coming up, and right after this, nobody speaks that way, and nobody sounds that way, and why is it that they do in the because it's the same way as a carnival. It's the same way with a tent preacher. It doesn't sound that way because that way is how they hypnotize people. This is the way that you get people to do your bidding. You can't stutter like that or it breaks the spell. But when you've got a rhythm going, DJs know this too. You can get locked in. You get people locked in and they're nodding their head and they're agreeing with you. And you kind of sync them. You sync them to what you're doing. And it's a thing that is, because of a lot of things, cultural stuff, mirror neurons, but they will start to do what you're doing, mimic the way you think, the way you act, the rhythm of it, but it has to come in a certain way, and it is obeying the principles of hypnosis. And that's because the origin of advertising and hypnosis are basically the same, and they come out of the same psychology movements. And we figured out how to hack brains. And when we did it, it's very difficult to spin as a good thing. And you say, I can convince people to do things that are not necessarily in their best interest. Well, that could come in useful. So there you go. And what I don't do that because I can't convince you of anything. I come in, I could create a state of mind, but it's not, doesn't benefit me at all. I think I'm just a cat in a hat. I'm here to muss things up and move on. And it's in the putting back together that you might question why you're... So I come into your room and everything is all neat and in their place, and I start disrupting, knocking everything off the shelves. What are you doing? Crazy, tearing all these things down. Then I leave. And you go, what was that nut that just came in here? And you start putting things back where they were, and then you think, well, now, why was this there in the first place? Why am I putting things back the way they were? Now that it's all been disrupted, maybe I could just build it back differently. People realize that in their houses. They'll move into a house and go, you know, this doesn't have to be there. Or this room doesn't have to be purple. We could literally paint it another color. And it's true. But sometimes it takes somebody coming into your house and spray painting. What do they do now? That Kilroy was here thing that they do with the nose and the... Have you seen this? It's everywhere. Kilroy was here. And, yeah, they got lots of things like that. And then you have to redo it. You know what they didn't do on that? I remember going to France, to the south of France, to, I want to say, Nîmes. And in Nîmes, they have a Roman aqueduct. And this word has been ruined by Monty Python. But there's an actual Roman aqueduct there, as well as other things, like a Colosseum and everything. But on this aqueduct, I looked at it, got up close to it when I was there, and there was carvings of a rabbit and then male genitalia. And I thought, well, I think these are from, and they were. Someone said it's from Roman. Someone just walked by and went, that is from Roman times. No, maybe I was on a tour or something. But they said, the workmen did that. Say, I'm going to have a little break, have a sandwich, and I'm going to carve a wiener into the aqueduct. And then someone say, hey, this is a great time to wallpaper. But they didn't. They might have wallpapered. The wallpaper would be long gone. I wonder if all the original Roman ruins that we see now, they were all wallpapered. This is kind of true with Pompeii. You know, there were beautiful paintings everywhere. You know, the walls had murals and everything like that. Just like that great sandwich place that you like to go to that has all the stuff that's locally sourced. They've got that great mural there. It's just leaves, but they're so well intricately done. Things like that. But they did that. That's Roman. That's your Pompeian. And this goes way back. So once you have ruined something, back the way you want. By wrecking WFMU, I'm giving them the opportunity to say, hey, now that slot's been ruined, maybe we could put somebody in, maybe do a little bit better or something like that. That's the goal I'm going for, but different. So we will have somebody that looks like, what's the opposite of Hardy? I don't know. I don't know what that would look like. Being angry. No, don't do that. Don't do that. At least I'm my goodness. That's an emotion I never want to provoke in people. I don't like the way it makes me feel. I also get very sick if I have too much caffeine. So I think I'm not a person who enjoys the jitters. Some people do. I guess some people like getting worked up, but I'm like, ugh, I don't need this. I don't like getting all You know, I'm a chill person, and my natural state is sleepy, maybe even. You know, if you ever want to just sit in rocking chairs with somebody, I've been this way since I was an infant. It's not an old man thing. I just I was sitting and rocking as an infant. There's lots of pictures of me just being real contented. I still have my baby rocking chair. I know you're going to think I'm crazy. I should post a picture of it or something. But it's this tiny little rocking chair my grandparents got me when I was like 2 or 3. And I still have it. I haven't been able to fit in it in a long time. I usually put scary-looking puppets in it. When I was growing up, I had a Charlie McCarthy ventriloquist dummy. I put that in there and stuff like that. Oh, bless you. I'm so lucky. Am I a success? Yes. No. I reject the word. How about that? How about that? How I just throw it on out. Now it's not even a problem. What in business? I don't know. I don't know what I was going to say. Dress for what? I don't know. Just dress. There you go. Oh, my goodness. I will try to succeed at some things. I want to succeed at blessing you. I want to succeed at making your life better than it was, not worse, or at least just not worse, or somewhat less worse, or if it's trending worse, kind of slow down the worseness. I would like to keep you company if you're feeling lonely or you feel like maybe, am I the only one who feels vulnerable or what? I don't know. No, absolutely not. I shouldn't even have to say it. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, New York. And online, WFMU.org. Oh, my friends, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for being a WFMU listener. Thank you so much for Mahogany's Next, I think, still, yes. They're telling me yes. Don't go anywhere. More greatness.
Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. 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 Twins' name was Ebony.
Back on this one.
I get it back.
Now this one's going out to all the fellas that done effed up the relationship with their old lady thinking it's a game. Now you done walked me to that bar, ordered one drink. One drink done turned into three. Three done turned into ten. Now you lying on that bathroom floor, asking yourself what happened.
I'm with you, Mike, and I'm with you.
Never knew just what I had, did not have it. Now I'm stuck with this habit, singing drunk, screaming, damn it, girl. What it take for you to free up all my life before I look myself in the mirror? Oh, baby, so good lately. It's been too crazy. It's been 2 days since you left me. Oh, baby, I miss you, baby. Darling, I can't take it.
I done hit rock bottom over you.
Girl, I'm begging and pleading, got a fucking feeling. And down in the liquor bottles got problems.
I done hit rock bottom over you.
And I'm missing, I'm kissing the way your body just kisses. When you're in the shower, just listen.
I done hit rock bottom over you.
Trying to figure out just how the I'm gonna get my baby back, back right now. And I'm thinking maybe if I send some flowers or some candy, sing a lullaby. And I know this sounds crazy, but I ain't giving up. Darling, you gotta understand I was off the chain and I wanna make it worth your while this time. I done hit rock bottom over you.
We sat down, made an agreement. We vowed that we will always be together. Do whatever we say, that no one would ever come between us. Say we would never, ever leave us. That was a wow. But it's like, lately, it feels like, I mean, I feel like all we do is fighting every single night. We can't get it tight, we can't get it right. I just wanna go back, take it way back, all the way back. Can we start again, do it over? Can we straighten it out? Can we work it out? Cause I don't wanna be without
you.
Make me feel like a natural man. I stand under the clouds trying to catch you if I can. And if that goes as planned, then safely you shall land. And we will hold hands and dance to the beat drums of our heart. We should never be apart. I pray the music never finish from the start. On your mark, get better set, pewing as I race to the finish line. Better yet, the top, cause I don't wanna hit rock bottom line.
Girl, I'm begging and pleading, got a big fucking feeling, and down in them liquor bottles got problems.
I don't hear a bottle over you.
And I'm missing the kisses, the way your body just kisses when you're in the shower. Just listen and hear a bottle over you.
Again.
You.
Again.
You. Yeah.
Over.
Yeah.
Again.
You.
Again.